I'd like to start our gospel meeting this evening with hymn number 15. Oh, blessed, yet there is room. It tells to all around, yet there is room. The guilty may draw near, though vile they need not fear. With joy they now may hear, yet there is room. Hymn number 15, will someone please start it? Help and blessing. We thank Thee, our loving God and Father, for the precious truth of this hymn we have been singing together. We thank Thee for the glorious gospel, that good news that has been going forth in this world almost 2,000 years. We thank Thee that Christ is still the Savior of sinners, and we thank Thee that though Thy house be filling fast, yet there is room. We thank Thee tonight for one more opportunity to hold forth the word of life. We thank Thee that Thy grace is still flowing out and that Thou art still compelling sinners to come in, that Thy house may be filled. And now as we're together and we have Thy word before us, we pray that as we read together from the Scriptures, that Thy word might be used in power and blessing tonight. We know that Thou canst use Thy word in convicting power. We pray that if there's someone here who's still lost, still on that broad road that leads to destruction, we beseech Thee that tonight Thou would speak to them, that as it were Thou would stop them in their tracks, that they might realize that they are sinners, but that they might realize too that Thou dost love them and Thou hast provided full and free salvation through our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thy Word is going forth this day in many places and by many means, and we pray that wherever it's gone forth, there might be much fruit for Thy glory and honor. We pray too that as we have Thy Word before us, that the sweet story of Jesus and His love might touch each of our hearts, and that those of us who are saved might rejoice tonight in our salvation. And so we ask Thy help, we ask Thy blessing, and we ask it with thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, and for His glory. Amen. I'd like to begin this evening by reading several portions of the Word of God. The first one is in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then just notice the last clause of verse 15, repent ye and believe the gospel. And then notice in the 16th chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 1 Peter 4. And the last part of verse 17. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And one more verse in the first chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, the reason I read so many verses at the beginning of this gospel meeting is because your salvation and blessing tonight doesn't depend on my ability to present the gospel. It doesn't depend on my ability to explain the Word of God. It doesn't depend on my ability to explain God's plan of salvation. But your salvation tonight does depend on the Word of God in all its power, in all its simplicity, And so at the beginning of a gospel meeting, I trust and I pray that these verses that we have read together concerning the gospel of God, the gospel concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be used in blessing to your soul tonight. You know, I am challenged when I look into an audience like this. Sometimes I have the privilege and responsibility of looking into the faces of those who have perhaps rarely heard a clear gospel, perhaps are hearing a clear gospel for the first time, and that is a tremendous challenge and responsibility before God. But I sometimes wonder if it isn't a greater challenge to stand and look into the faces of those that have heard it many, many times. You know, there was a prayer meeting before this gospel began. And as one and another expressed their desire in prayer for the blessing of souls tonight, invariably those who prayed audibly had a concern and a burden for those who have heard the gospel many times, for those who have heard it from the very early days of your youth. I'm thankful that I grew up in a home where I don't remember the first time I ever heard the Word of God read. It was part of our lives from before the time I can remember. I don't remember the first time I was brought to a gospel meeting. I was there before I knew what was being said or understood the gospel. And what a wonderful privilege it is to sit under the sound of God's Word year after year. But you know, it's a solemn thing as well. Because you who have heard the Word of God from the days of your youth are very responsible this evening. You are more responsible than the heathen who have never heard the gospel. You are more responsible than those who are on the street and have never perhaps come into a meeting like this, never had a praying mother and father. It's true that they are responsible too, but you are more responsible tonight before God. You know, sometimes when the gospel is preached, people think, well, that's all right for somebody else. You take that message to somebody that's in a worse condition morally than I am. Perhaps the gospel is presented to someone and they say, well, you know, I'm a good living person. I come from a Christian home, perhaps. You say, take that kind of message to the drunk on the street. And so you take the message to the man in the gutter and you present the gospel and God's love and grace and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they listen perhaps and they say, well, you know, I get drunk but I don't hurt anybody else. You take that message to someone who goes out and robs from others. They need that kind of message. And so you go out and you speak to the robber, the thief. And he says, well, you know, I do take from others, but everybody's dishonest. And I don't really hurt anybody in the long run. You go out and talk to the person that's taken someone's life. Isn't that the human heart? Isn't that what we're like? We look at somebody that we feel is in a worse condition than ourselves, and we say, that's for them. But you know, God's Word says men measuring themselves by themselves are not wise. To look at someone else and to measure your standing before God in relationship to them is not wise. Because God's Word plainly declares that there is no difference. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've often told of the occasion when I was picking up children with a large van and we were taking them to a gospel tent meeting. And the van was quite full that evening, and as we drove down the road, there was a lady walking on the side of the road. And they pointed to that lady, it seemed those children with one accord, and they said, that lady is bad. She needs to come to the gospel meeting. That's the heart of man. He looks at someone else and feels that they need salvation, that they are sinners. But oh, tonight I want you to look within and realize that this message is for you. And to realize that you are a sinner tonight. But then I want you to look to the cross. I want you to look to the cross of Christ. I want you to realize tonight that from God's Word that the gospel is going forth and has gone forth. From the a time when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and went back to the glory. And He gave a commission to His own that we read here. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so I'm thankful tonight that your blessing and salvation doesn't depend on my ability to present the Word of God, because if it depended on that tonight, there would be no blessing. But oh, tonight, God is willing and able to save you. And He wants to speak to you through His Word. September 23rd, Brother Walt Van Holstein and I arrived in Nigeria. And there are several checkpoints, immigration and custom checkpoints that you go through before you enter a country like that. I had got through two of the four checkpoints. I came to the senior customs official and he wasn't going to let me into the country. He opened my passport. It was a valid passport. He looked at my visa and it was a valid visa. But there was one small difficulty. I hadn't realized that when I applied for a visa at the High Commission in Ottawa, they had issued me a business visa. And that man was suspicious that I was entering the country on some kind of official business. I tried to explain to him that I was just there on a visit, but my words were to no avail. The more I tried to use some explanation, the more he doubted my story. He turned away to speak to someone else. Brother Walt pulled a Bible out of his carry-on satchel and handed it to me and said, "Perhaps this will convince him." When he turned back, I handed the man the Bible with a short explanation, and he let me pass and enter the country. And you know, this evening, we're going to speak of salvation. We're going to speak of entrance into heaven, and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have the Word of God before us, I want to impress upon your soul tonight that the Word of God is true. And that if you accept the message of God's Word tonight, there'll be blessing for your soul. Blessing for all eternity. Just as that Bible, "Let me pass into Nigeria." So this Word of God, if you accept its message, if you rest upon it tonight, and rest upon its message, and rest upon the One of whom it speaks, the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you will have a title to glory. Because it's only the Lord Jesus and the work that He accomplished on Calvary's cross and the blood that He shed there that can put away your sins and give you title to that happy land called heaven. It's your only title to the Father's house. Sometimes with the boys and girls we sing that little song. How many children say, "I'd like to go to heaven," but never think that they must have their sins forgiven. And so for a few moments tonight we pause and we ponder the glorious gospel. And these verses that we have read together, I don't mean to speak on each one of them, but I just want to point out how many times, and this is just a few of the times in Scripture, that the word gospel is brought before us. Two young people were talking at the back of a meeting room like this. And they were saying just before the gospel hour, "Well, it's just another gospel meeting. It'll probably be over around 8 o'clock. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, no gospel meeting is just another gospel meeting. It is a thrill to be able to open the Word of God and to read Scriptures such as we have read tonight and present that One who came into this world. He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And it's the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's the only way of blessing. It's all that God has to offer tonight. God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark's gospel, where we began, if we were to read chapter after chapter, we would see the story of that blessed One, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He came into this world. And I suppose Mark's gospel is summed up in that glorious verse that says, The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. That's the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus came into this world and that He went to Calvary's cross to die for your sins, if you'll have Him as your Savior? Sometimes I have the privilege of visiting in Asheville, North Carolina. North Carolina is a state unlike the state of Illinois, and Missouri, in that there are rolling, green, lush hills as far as the eye can see. Beautiful country. I don't mean that Missouri and Illinois aren't beautiful in themselves, but it's a different kind of beauty. And I love to ride out into the mountains on a clear day and look off onto those blue rolling hills. And I have had occasion to visit Vanderbilt Estate. It was built by Mr. Vanderbilt many years ago. He was a very wealthy railway tycoon. And he built this castle-like built a home on this estate. And you look out from the porches of that beautiful mansion and you see the rolling hills and the beautiful gardens, which are still preserved and used as a museum. But you know, Mr. Vanderbilt, with all his wealth and with all his beautiful estate, he came to the point in life where he knew that he was going to leave this world and face eternity. And as he lay on his deathbed, he forgot about his millions. He forgot about his beautiful estate. Those things didn't seem to mean anything to him anymore. And he remembered that there was an old servant in his hire who often sang hymns concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he called for that servant. And that elderly servant came into that room. Vanderbilt's life was ebbing away fast. The servant sat down by the bed and he began to sing that old hymn, "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy." He sang it with much feeling. He sang it in its entirety. The tears streamed down his face. And when he was finished, the tears were streaming down Mr. Vanderbilt's face as well. And he turned to that servant and he said, "Vanderbilt is a poor and needy sinner." What about you tonight? Do you realize that you are bankrupt before God? It doesn't mean anything to have something of this world's goods. We're not talking about position in this world. We're not talking about whether you were brought up in a Christian home. We're not talking about some standing before man, some honor that you may have obtained. We're talking about standing before God with the eye of God looking on you. And you know, as God looks down into this room tonight, He sees not as man sees. You know, I look out over an audience like this, and I can see pretty well everyone in this audience. But I can't look into your heart, because the Lord alone looketh on the heart. You can't hide one thing from God. God looks into your heart. He knows the very thoughts and the intents of your heart. But oh, the wonderful thing tonight is that while we are sinners, and while it is true that we cannot hide from God, isn't it wonderful to present the good news of the gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? You know, the gospel is a word that simply means glad tidings or good news. There's not much good news in this world today. Everything is out of control. There's the breakdown of everything in this world. And even governments are recognizing that they are dealing with an interplay of economic and political forces beyond their control. But oh, tonight we can stand here with the Word of God before us and present the good news of the gospel. You know, it's a word that was used many, many centuries ago. When Greece was not the united nation that it is today, but a series of walled cities apart from the other. And often there would be battles and feuding between those cities. And usually those battles were held a great way off from the city. And often there were messengers sent when it was determined how the battle was going. And those messengers would run toward the city that was involved in the battle. And there would be those usually on the city wall who were watching. And they were watching for one man. They were watching for that runner, that messenger, because they knew that the fate of the city hung in the message that this man brought. And as that man was running, he would be shouting while he was still far off, "Gospel, gospel, gospel." And they would strain to hear. And oh, how it would rejoice their hearts when they would hear that it was good news, that there was victory for that city. And oh, tonight there is victory because Christ has died and risen from the dead. He's victorious over death and over sin. And this evening, on the basis that the Lord Jesus has died and risen from the dead, salvation is being offered to you and to me. Have you received that salvation? Do you rejoice when the gospel goes forth? Do you rejoice when an hour is announced when the glad tidings can be sounded forth in this sin-sick world once again? Or when the gospel meeting starts, do you feel a little uncomfortable and you squirm a little and you wish that the hour would move by a little faster so that you can go out and on your way once again and not consider these important things? Oh, tonight I want to impress upon your soul that God in His love is allowing the gospel to go forth still in this world. Do you realize that the very fact that you're here in this room tonight is a proof of the love and the grace that's in the heart of God? The very fact that He has allowed you to come to another gospel meeting, the very fact that He has allowed you to hear the Word of God once again, I say, is a proof of the love and the grace that's in the heart of God. But I want to warn you too, that if you don't repent and believe the gospel, there's judgment. There's a solemn side to the gospel. And I would not be faithful tonight if I didn't warn you from God's Word that there is judgment coming on this world. You know, the Lord Jesus lifted up His eyes on one occasion and He saw the multitude and He had compassion on them. Why? Because He knew they were a sheep not having a shepherd. He knew that they were souls on their way to eternity. And God views this room tonight, and He sees this company, and He has compassion on you. I don't know why you've come to this gospel meeting this evening. Perhaps someone invited you here. Perhaps you came with a loved one. Perhaps you felt compelled out of a sense of duty. I don't know why you came to this gospel meeting. But I know that as God views this room tonight, He loves you and He has allowed you to come once more in His grace so that you can hear that not only are you a sinner, but that there's salvation and blessing. Oh, repent and believe the gospel. Do you really believe that you're a sinner? Do you really believe that you are a sinner? There's no blessing if you don't really come to that point. Repent and believe the gospel, because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You know, the Lord Jesus, feeling the awful reality of judgment, He said, "Now is the judgment of this world." Now is the judgment of this world. And He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. But oh, judgment, as has been often said, is God's strange work. God never delights in judgment, though He must carry it out in accordance with His holy nature. But you just follow through the history of man in God's Word. God always did two things before He brought in judgment. He always gave a warning, and He always made a way of escape. You know, God looked down in Genesis chapter 6. 1600 short years after creation, He looked down and He looked at man, and again He looked into the heart of man. In fact, I think it's significant that there in Genesis 6 you have the first mention of man's heart. And what does he say concerning the heart of man? That the thoughts of his imagination were only of his heart were only evil continually. 1600 short years after creation. That which had come from God's hand in creation and placed in the garden, in that beautiful earthly paradise, was now something that had become so corrupt that the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And God pronounced judgment in Noah's day. He said that he was going to destroy the world with a flood. But what happened? God did those two things. He gave a warning. Noah preached righteousness for perhaps 120 years. And there was a way of escape. And all that entered that ark, though they were only 8 souls, were saved from the judgment that fell at that time. You come over a little farther in the history of man. Jonah is sent to that wicked city of Nineveh. And finally, he does obey the Lord's command and he goes. And he preaches a message of doom to that city. He tells them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people repent. They believe God. And the judgment didn't fall at that time. But you know, I think there's something very solemn if you go on over to the book of Nahum. Because there, about 120 years later, we have the final doom of Nineveh. The judgment did fall. God in His grace spared it for a generation because they turned to God from the king on the throne to the lowest citizen in that city. And God spared that city in His grace, but the judgment did fall. And God has withheld the hand of judgment for almost 2,000 years. He's withholding it a little longer tonight. But I want to impress upon you that the judgment will fall. Well, the gospel was to go forth then to every creature. You know, that's the message of the gospel. Whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. The gospel's not for just a certain class of people. I sometimes think of this as I sit in a busy airport and announcements are made. And everybody's straining to hear those announcements and how disappointed folks are when they find that that announcement really wasn't for them. They were hoping that that delayed flight would be announced and that they would get on their way or something like that, but the announcement wasn't for them. Announcements in a public place like that are only for certain people. And many people go away disappointed. But oh, the announcement of the gospel tonight is for all. Even though all have sinned, yet whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like what a little girl said when she was asked what that word whosoever meant. She said, why, that means you and me and everybody else. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That I can stand here tonight and present from God's Word the gospel, and I don't have to tell you tonight that it's only for a certain age, that it's only for a certain class of people. But I can tell you tonight that God loves you, each one in this room. That no matter what your condition, no matter how long or how bad you have gone on in sin, that God's salvation is for you tonight. And oh, I say again that the glorious gospel is brought before us, summed up as it were in these verses that we read in 1 Corinthians together. Let me just read them again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Isn't this good news, brethren? Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, doesn't it thrill our hearts to hear it again and again and again? Notice who this is specifically written to. He says here, moreover, brethren, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to sit under the sound of the gospel and to hear the story over and over and over again of how the Lord Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day? You know, Paul often delighted to speak and to write to the saints concerning the glorious gospel, to remind their hearts of what God had done for them in reaching out to them in grace. David said, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Paul wrote to the Roman brethren, and he said, As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome. And I want to just take a minute and exercise our hearts, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, because if we ever get tired of hearing the simple gospel story, if we ever get tired of sitting in a gospel meeting where the way of salvation is presented in simplicity, we need to get down on our knees and examine our state of soul, because it's going to be our eternal occupation when we get home to glory. And it's the ground of every blessing that we possess. We've had a wonderful privilege today of sitting in these meetings with the Word of God before us, to open to a chapter that says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's all based on the work of Calvary. And when we get home to glory and we see our precious Savior, that Lamb freshly slain, the One who is the center of that heavenly redeemed throng, oh, what are we going to sing of? We're going to sing as those who are redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're never going to forget the cost of redemption for all eternity. But oh, I say tonight, if there's someone in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't thrill as we speak of the Father's house, you don't look forward to that time when all the redeemed will be around the Savior there, and what rejoicing it will be. Oh, I say tonight, what keeps you away? If the love of God tonight doesn't touch your heart, I don't know what goes on within your heart. I wish tonight I could tell you how much God loves you. I wish I could convey in some way how much God loves you and how much He has provided in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, tonight, only God can touch your heart. And that's our prayer tonight, that God would touch your heart, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. How many people go out of a gospel meeting and they say, that's not for me. As it were, they won't even taste and see that the Lord is good. I've used this illustration before, but sometimes I go with my family to the grocery store. And as we enter the grocery store, sometimes there's a table set up near the door. And someone is behind that table, and on that table is some new product, maybe some new ice cream, some crackers and cheese that they're trying to sell. And as you pass by that table, they're offering you a taste. They're recommending it to you. And tonight, God commendeth His love toward you. You know, we rarely pass a table like that without trying some of the product that's being offered. We stop and we try that little dish of ice cream, those few crackers and cheese, that little piece of meat. And as they offer it to folks, they're hoping that once they get a little taste of it, they will buy the product so that they can enjoy it further. Oh, I often think of that in connection with the gospel. Oh, if you could just get a little taste tonight of the love of God. If you could just realize in some little measure how much God loves you. How much the Lord Jesus loves you. Oh, you'd want more. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Sometimes on an occasion like this, people will say, well, I'll have to give up this. I'll have to give up that if I get saved. But you know, I only gave up one thing when I came to the Lord Jesus. One thing I gave up when I came as a poor, helpless sinner. And that was my sins. And thank God they're gone. Washed in the blood of Jesus tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Can you say that? Can you say that Jesus has died for you? Can you say that the blood of Jesus has washed your sins away? There was a doctor in Scotland some years ago, and he would go out and treat his patients, and many in the community had no money to pay for their treatment. This doctor was a very kind, lenient man, and when he would realize that there was no way that many of these individuals could pay his bill, he would open his ledger book, and he had a special red pen that he kept for the occasion, and he would write across that debt, "Forgiven." Well, there was hardly a page in his ledger book that didn't have those words written in red across at least one account. And time went on, and the doctor passed away. And his heirs gathered together, and they opened that ledger book. And they thought that perhaps if they took that book to a court of law, that they could benefit if some of those debts were collected. And so legal proceedings began. The heirs to that man's estate presented themselves before the judge. The judge took that book and he opened that book in the presence of those heirs. He ran his finger up and down the pages of that ledger. He saw those words written in red ink, "Forgiven." He closed the book. He handed it back to the heirs. And he said, "There isn't a court in this land that would uphold collection of those payments." They're forgiven. And that red ink across those accounts meant that they could never be collected. And oh, I stand here tonight, saved and on my way to heaven, washed in the blood of Jesus, not because of something I have done, but because Jesus has paid the debt for me. And I'm forgiven this evening. It's just as if that word is written in red across the record of my sins. Forgiven. Washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never have to pay for my sins. It's true that the wages of sin is indeed death, and I don't have to tell you that tonight. You see it on every hand. But all the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, this evening, look up into the heavens. See that blessed one who's risen from the dead. That one who's there at God's right hand as the Savior. He's risen. As I say, we were in Nigeria not many weeks ago. And it broke my heart at certain hours of the day to hear on loudspeakers set on poles, men who come, men who are followers of the Prophet Muhammad. And they would bow down and they would pour out their souls in the most pitiful, mournful wails and cries that you can ever imagine. It's indescribable if you've never heard it. You don't know what I'm talking about, but it breaks your heart and rends your soul to see these men pray and they have no hope. They realize within themselves that there's no blessing from their prayers. And yet tonight, the good news goes forth in a land like this. We present a living Savior. Muhammad is in the grave tonight. Buddha is in the grave tonight. But tonight we're presenting a new and a living way. We're presenting a risen Savior there at God's right hand. It's true. He died on the cross. It's true, as the Scriptures plainly declare, He was taken down, put in that new tomb. But the third day He rose again. You know, to my own soul, there are no more glorious words than these. "He is not here, He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Two missionaries were serving the Lord in India. And one day they went out on the street and there was a great to-do and large crowds of people moving up the street. And when they inquired as to the situation, they were told that a bone of Buddha had been found and that they were carrying this bone on some kind of a conveyance through the street. And people were out there bowing down to that bone. And there was great rejoicing. The two missionaries watched this procedure for a little while. And then they turned and went on their way. And as they got talking over the incident, they remarked that if a bone, and I speak reverently, if a bone of the Lord Jesus were to be found today, it would not cause rejoicing amongst Christians. It would cause great sorrow and remorse. Because tonight we're presenting one who's not in the tomb, but one who came forth victorious. God hath raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand, given him a name above every name. And that's the name, that's the person to whom every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, look up tonight. Look to Jesus tonight. There is a Savior on high in the glory. A Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree. A Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty. His love great and free. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I wonder if you can make it that personal tonight. You know, that's one of the verses I learned when I was a very young child. I suppose about the time I learned John 3:16, I learned that verse, Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. But you know, sometimes I wonder how many of us learn those verses. And we can stand up in Sunday school and we can quote them and we can get a reward. But I wonder how much those verses really mean to our soul. Can you say this evening, the Son of God who loved me? It was a young couple one time and they had that verse hanging in their home. And someone came into their home to do some business with them. And they had to be out of the room for a few moments. And while the couple were out of the room, that man was sitting there and he was just reading that verse over and over and over again to himself. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And when they came back in the room, he looked at them and he said, "No wonder you're happy if you really believe that." Oh, this is what brings true happiness, true joy in the heart. How is it that many of us can sit here tonight with the peace of God in our hearts, where everything is turmoil around us, where we know that the world is ripe for judgment, and yet we sit here tonight and we have rest and peace in our souls? It's because we know the Son of God. We've tasted of that love, and we know that there's something better awaiting for us in the Father's house. We know that there's a bright future ahead for us. We know that we'll never die for our sins. We know that we'll never come under the judgment of God for sin, because the Lord Jesus has borne the judgment. But oh, I say again this evening, what about you tonight? You know, this is a very personal matter tonight. It's true there's a large crowd in this room tonight. But oh, don't pay attention to the crowd. Don't think of the young person beside you. Don't think of mother and father for a few moments. Just consider your own soul and whether you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, I've been solemnized to realize that when the prophet Elijah was called away to heaven without dying, taken up in a whirlwind in a chariot of fire, that there were those who missed the prophet when he was taken away. And it was, we might say, the general public, but it was the sons of the prophets. You know, if the Lord Jesus were to come this evening, and He may, that clock is ticking by. It's almost 8 o'clock. And if the Lord Jesus were to come before 8 o'clock, because it says the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, I wonder about you. I'm speaking to the boys and girls and the young people here, and I want you to listen to me and take in these words just for another few moments, because this is for you. Suppose the Lord Jesus were to come, and mother is gone, father is gone, the young person sitting beside you is gone, brother is raptured out of this room, sister is snatched away, this ceiling, this roof, no difficulty, snatched away, our bodies changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we rise to meet the Lord in the air. What about you? As you look around and you view those empty seats, maybe yours is the only one that's still occupied. Will you understand what has happened? Will you know where mother and father and grandparents are gone? Will you know where that young person that you came to the conference with is gone? Indeed you will. It was the sons of the prophets that missed Elijah. What about you tonight? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, there is always haste connected with the gospel. But oh, perhaps tonight there's someone who doesn't believe. And you know, we read a verse that tells us that our gospel is hid. And who is it hid from? It's hid from them that believe not. It's hid from to the lost. Are you lost tonight? You know, Satan is seeking to blind your mind tonight. He's the god of this world. He's seeking to interject at this point in the gospel meeting every kind of distraction, every kind of thought. Perhaps he has someone beside you who whispers in your ear, someone who distracts you in some way so that you won't listen to the gospel message, so that that pricking of your conscience is not heeded and you turn away, so that that heart that's touched with the love of God turns away and becomes a little harder and rejects once again. Is that what Satan's doing tonight to you? Is he seeking to distract you so that you don't listen to the gospel message? So that you don't heed the pleadings of a loving God? So that you don't heed the pleadings of the blessed Lord Jesus who died on Calvary's cross that you might be saved from judgment and from sin? Satan is busy tonight, but oh, I'm thankful that the Spirit of God is still striving, that God is still working by His Spirit. Oh, are you going to listen tonight? Because God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." You're looking forward to going out that door in a few moments. This may be your last opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I wonder tonight, if you knew for certain that this was your last opportunity to be saved, I wonder if it would make a difference in how you listen to the message and how you receive it. If you knew for certain that this was the last opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I wonder if you would go out that door and block your ears and your mind to what you've heard, or would you turn from darkness to light? Would you turn and receive the glorious gospel message and the one of whom it speaks? I read this verse in Peter concerning the Word of God and how it endures forever and how it's through the Word that the gospel is preached. Because maybe you'll go out the room tonight and you'll say, "I don't believe that." That doesn't change the truth of God's Word. God's Word stands. And we have read several portions together tonight from God's Word. They're all true. If I don't believe it, that doesn't change the truth of it. We have quoted several verses of Scripture together this evening, and they're all true. The Word of God is settled in heaven. The Word of God is unchangeable. And just because you reject it tonight doesn't change the truth of it. And the Lord Jesus said these solemn words when He was here in this world. He said, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." These Scriptures that we have read together tonight at this moment are applicable to you as to refuge in Christ. But there's a day coming when these words will be brought back to your memory. And they will no longer be offered to you as far as to salvation. They will rise in judgment of you. Have you ever heard John 3:16 before? Indeed you have, and you've heard it this evening. How solemn to think that in a lost eternity, you remember John 3:16, but it rises in judgment of you, rather than offer you eternal salvation. Oh, how sad. My heart breaks as we come to the end of a gospel meeting, because I am solemnized to think that perhaps there is someone who has come into this meeting as a lost sinner. And that is solemn and that is sad, but I believe there's something worse tonight than having come to this meeting a lost sinner, and that's to go out of this meeting and still be lost in your sins. Because God, for 1 hour, has given you another opportunity. We were singing, "Oh, blessed gospel sound, yet there is room. It tells to all around, yet there is room. But all the day will come when the door will be shut. The door will be shut, never to be opened again. The day will come when there will be no more gospel meetings. We'll stand here 24 hours from now and present the glad news of the gospel. Your opportunity is this evening. Oh, won't you come to Jesus? He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Only believe His word. You're a sinner, yes. But oh, God loves the sinner. He's provided salvation full and free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, as it were, tonight is saying, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." He's offering a free gift tonight. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'd like to sing in closing that hymn, "Decide for Christ Today." And God's salvation seed, number 21. "Yield soul and body, heart and will to Him who died for thee. Christ alone can save. Break the power of sin. Christ doth fully satisfy the heart that cleaves to Him." Number 21, will someone please start it?
Decide for Christ today.